Hello, and welcome to a roundtable discussion on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I'm joined by guests for a lively conversation on a topic we hope you'll find interesting. In this roundtable discussion, my sister Kay and I are going to have a spoiler-filled discussion about Star Wars, The Force Awakens. We're going to spoil that movie, the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy, and pretty much anything else we can think of in the course of this discussion. We went and saw it at a 3 o'clock showing at the Alamo Draft House, The Village. And I don't know how many people are familiar with the Alamo Draft House. It is a venue here in town. They used to have one. Now they've got like 5 or 6, and I think even one in San Antonio and a few other places. It's a movie theater where they don't have regular style seating. They do, but in front of that, they've got like a bar kind of a thing. They've got a food service deal. Mm-hmm. Full menu, get drinks, all this kind of stuff. And I mention it because we did this as a outing with a group of people where I work, and it's great for that kind of a thing. But it also means that they're bringing in food during the movie. And we've done this at the downtown location ages ago. And I thought they were much better then about crouching.
Yeah.
And because there's room between the seats to walk and stuff. But I'll be honest, I was a little frustrated at times. There were a lot of people literally up and walking in front of me in the showing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. But got to see it in the afternoon, less crowded time, although it was packed theater.
It was sold out.
Yeah. It was fun film.
Well, let's start with what they showed while we were waiting for the showing to start.
Yes. One of the things the Alamo Draft House is known for is kind of their pre-show show, and they do custom stuff. They had, in this case, This Is Your Life, C-3PO. They had a bunch of Japanese films that were doing Star Wars riffs or whatnot.
They had references to Star Wars, kind of a, you may remember it from The Simpsons, Cheers, kind of every TV show they'd ever done a clip with Star Wars.
Yeah, they just showed a lot of those clips. They showed a lot of the old commercials from the 80s.
Then they had a thing right before it started of, and now, instead of wasting your time with the feature presentation you came for, we're going to make you sit through the entire Star Wars holiday special. And then they showed George Lucas and his wife arriving on red carpet for a movie with this dumbfounded look on their faces of, huh? And then they put up a slide of, nah, we're not that mean.
Yeah.
So
That is the one Star Wars theme, the thing that everybody is like, yeah, we don't need to watch that.
So it was just really entertaining pre-movie stuff as opposed to some of the trivia slides you've seen 1,000 times and
right.
Stuff like that.
We still got the regular trailers and stuff. Saw, you know, the Star Trek trailer, a bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had even themed up, though, the please don't talk and turn off your cell phone stuff.
They've got a fairly serious no talking during the show, no texting and stuff. Because they're keeping an eye out for, you know, orders and stuff that you'd write down on the card and stuff, they're in the theater.
Well,
so if somebody's talking, you can just complain. They'll give the guy a warning. You complain again, they'll get thrown out.
They actually came over and got mad at the guy next to me, and I thought it was hilarious. I know the guy next to me did not, but I thought it was funny. They got mad at him for, quote, using his cell phone. He turned on the screen so the light would light up the menu so he could order food from them.
That's funny.
So it was the epitome of, wait a second, I'm trying to participate in your business.
Well, I know a lot of people, it's like, oh, this is a great place to do. They love seeing movies there. I don't. Because, I mean, we've got food allergies. I don't like getting my food in the dark.
Yeah.
I don't like being distracted while I'm trying to watch a movie again with people walking around and stuff like that.
There are definite pros and cons to the setup.
There are some people that love it. I'm not one of them.
This is one of the theaters where, and it may have been because we were such a large group, but they'd been able to reserve 2 complete rows.
Yes.
Towards the back of the theater.
And that was nice. I like being in the back, although I felt we were a little further from the screen than I would have liked. but not having scoped out that particular theater.
Yeah.
There's another place in town, iPix, that we had seen Imitation Game at about a year ago. And it's a similar, we'll bring you food or whatever. But I thought that setup was a lot better.
Well, and that
it's one, also higher scale.
It is. I was going to say that one, the seats were more like recliners, whereas these were definitely more traditional movie seat type seats.
Well, and I think they're set up such that they can come in from the side and not block anyone's view.
Yes.
Whereas, again, here, and again, I've been to other Alamos at other times and not had that problem.
Yeah.
So I was surprised and displeased this time.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about 4K screen.
Yeah.
And then showing, frankly, fairly blurry 80s commercials that have gone through VHS and whatnot and have that kind of shimmer to the stuff. It's like back before Focus was invented.
Well, and it was funny because you could tell the waiters, when I was ordering my water and stuff, that the waiters were not used to having people kind of shoo them out of the way during the commercials before the trailers even. And he looks at me and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And he moved out of the way. And I'm like, I don't remember Star Wars Battleship from the late 70s being a game for sale.
Again, seeing all the toys, how frankly, so antiquated they were.
Yeah.
And then cutting to this new film in beautiful 4K, incredible resolution. You know, you get the logo, you get the John Williams music. You get the crawl, and it's like, boom, we're right back in this universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did a few things a little subtly differently at the beginning, because normally you would get that pan down after the credits. Once it was up, but usually it's down, whatever. You'd see the planet, it's nice, it's tranquil, and you've got a bunch of, you know, ships fighting or whatever kind of a deal. You know, here, they just have one of the Star Destroyers block out the planet. It's like, ooh, that's effective. Hadn't seen that before. And then, you know, the story gets going. And I thought the decision to go with predominantly unknown people for the new characters, really good choice.
I thought so, too. I thought exploring and humanizing a stormtrooper was brilliant.
Finn is, I really like that character a lot.
You know, the moment they had the blood marks on the helmet, I'm like, we better pursue and follow this stormtrooper, because I was already intrigued by him at that point.
Well, at that point, it was pretty clear to me that they've tagged him so we can follow him easily. He is a feature character.
Well, at that point, he had turned his back on pursuing fighting to go help a fallen comrade and hope he hadn't died. So, and it was as the comrade was actually dying and he was realizing I can't save him that the blood marks end up on the mask.
Well, and it really differentiated him from the average stormtrooper.
Exactly.
Part of what I really liked about that character is we get through the course of the movie a little later, I forget who he was talking to at the time, the backstory of these are kids that are just grabbed, taken, brainwashed, and turned into troopers.
He was telling Rey, who had a very similar raised without her parents background, and it never occurred to her she would have anything in common with a stormtrooper.
I figured I was having a hard time remembering if it was Rey or Poe that he had told it to. But both Rey was well introduced as a scavenger and a bit of a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
But also Poe, the pilot, was well introduced. And I was thinking, okay, he's our lead.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
he's the first guy we really see. But then we get the one known as Finn, the Poe and Finn. They gel really well. They've got a good camaraderie there, a good, you know, how they fall into it. Into interacting with each other, where that goes. Some great fight sequences there, some fun moments. And it captured a lot of the feel and style of Star Wars. There were a few places where I thought the movie was following a little too closely to A New Hope, the fourth one, or the first one, depending how you count.
Yeah, see, I wondered if that was just me.
Well, before we walked into the theater, I was kind of joking, you know, I hope this starts with them, the Rebels blowing up the 38th Death Star or something.
Yeah.
Just because it seems that there are so many of them. And then when we get to the big weapon, the Star Killer.
Which turns out to be a Death Star, only it's 38 times bigger.
Or it's part of a planet. I was a little unclear.
It's the size of a planet, so that it can kill 5 or 6 planets at once.
Yes, it takes the Death Star concept to a whole new level, but it also seemed to be just overkill in multiple ways. Because to power this up, you've got to basically drain a sun.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. The ultimate in solar powered.
Yes. But then once you've done that, it can go and destroy, what, 5, 6, 7 planets simultaneously?
Yeah. It's, so instead of destroying a planet, we just wipe out a solar system at once.
It makes me wonder how big this Galactic Republic Empire, whatever, is that they can afford to keep wiping out planets like this.
You know, when it comes to environmentalism or being an environmentalist, I don't look to Star Wars to be an example.
No, no.
I also don't really look to them for my role model in recycling.
I think you should.
Really?
They build to last in that universe.
Well, that's true.
C-3PO and R2-D2 are in this film.
That's very true.
They were built by Anakin as a young child, or mm-hmm. were active at that point. Mm-hmm. C-3PO was built by him, R2 not. But Anakin was 8 at the time.
Why is C-3PO's arm red?
It got blown off. Okay. We're going to get a story, I believe, in the comics told by Greg Rucka that'll explain that.
Okay, just curious.
But 3PO was around for at least, I'm going to say, 2 decades before we meet Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Han Solo is now 70 or something. I mean,
yeah.
3PO has been around for most of a century.
Yeah. Well, and Han really was kind of the Obi-Wan of this movie.
Yes. I was pleasantly surprised when he and Chewie come in. We've already gotten reintroduced to the Millennium Falcon. I thought that scene, both the lead up to how Finn and Rey meet, how they get to the Falcon, how they take the Falcon, all of that, a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the capturing of the Falcon, which is reminiscent to, the Star Destroyer's taking it.
Well, and I loved them on the ship having to fix it. And Finn dealing with BB-8, mm-hmm. fessing up to having lied to her, and the whole, I need you to give her the information, and kind of coming clean to the droid.
I'll be honest, when I'd seen BB-8 in the commercials and stuff like that, I'm like, it's a silly design, it's like, whatever, it looked like a soccer ball or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he was essentially the R2 unit
mm-hmm.
of the movie, and was really well used, was fun. Was entertaining. The design worked remarkably well, particularly when he's going down the stairs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Would have liked to have seen him going back up.
Yeah, really.
But also, when he was getting himself out of the cargo pit or whatever, the smuggling pit
in
the Falcon, when he's got these grappling hooks, he's the character in the movie that had the grappling hooks.
Yes.
I mentioned that because I didn't think any of them did, but he did. Three or four of them, well used. I mean, when the Falcon is just flying around and he's getting bounced around, he finally anchors himself.
Well, and that was funny because at one point he seemed to kind of roll full circle around all the walls. And it was right after that that he just kind of did the beep, beep, beep of to heck with this and grappling hooked onto 4 surfaces
mm-hmm.
and was just sort of suspended. I'm like, okay, I've just fallen in love with this droid.
He was really fun, well used. And when we finally see R2, it's clear he's got a kinship to mm-hmm. R2. It almost seemed like a baby brother kind of a mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a lot of fun. And him having the map, having to get that to the rebels, again, harkens back to A New Hope.
Yes, very much.
And I'm not saying this is a bad thing.
No, but there were just times where it felt like, not that we were retelling that story or taking that story and saying, okay, if I just change this, that, the other, can I tell it again?
The parallels were very strong.
Yeah.
Which made me see Rey as, well, she's the princess.
Mm-hmm.
Poe, well, he's the pilot.
Well, and I guess that was why I had a problem deciding between either of 2 parents for Rey.
To me, it felt, particularly when it was clear she had Force-type abilities, actually, even before that, when she had the X-Wing pilot doll and the helmet,
mm-hmm.
Luke's kid, potentially.
See, I just couldn't decide between Luke and Leia.
I was also having that problem with Kylo Ren, mm-hmm. who turned out to be Leia and Han's kid Ben.
I tell you, I positively adored a little girl getting all excited when they finally got to the, they're not just hinting at it, they're pretty much saying it, and she's, Daddy, Han and Leia got married? Daddy! And he's like, shh, it's complicated. It's like an entire trilogy. I'll tell you later.
That was the guy sitting next to you. Okay, interesting.
And she was just bouncing in her seat, excited with the things happened off camera between the trilogies.
A lot happened off camera.
Mm.
And a lot of it, though, what happened between Han and Leia, their kid, some of it gets told, some of it gets implied, but it makes a very rich backstory mm-hmm. for these characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I checked with you, you know, did I hear what I thought I heard? Of Han calling out to his son, Ben.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's naming him for Obi-Wan.
Absolutely.
And, you know, having just rewatched all the trilogies, I really think there was more of a friendship between him and Obi-Wan than may have been seen. Maybe that's just me.
I think Han grew to respect Obi-Wan, the sacrifice he made, and at the time, he didn't believe in the Jedi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly by this movie,
mm-hmm.
it's like, no, this stuff is.
Yeah, yeah.
It is all true, as crazy as it may seem.
Yeah, and I think when Leia would have probably been the one to suggest naming their kid for Obi-Wan, Han would by then have been on board with it.
I don't think that would have been a tough sell.
Yeah.
Just because that was the father figure for Luke. It was, you know,
mm-hmm.
the second or third to the last of the Jedi, depending how you count. Yoda was still around. Does Luke count as that?
Yeah.
You know, that whole bit was fun. And again, extends the whole family aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Having kind of the grandson of Darth Vader going down a dark path. Seemingly very willingly.
Well, and, you know, there's the confusion for me was, who is this Supreme Commander hologram person?
First off, we only see him in hologram.
Yes.
When we see him, he's gargantuan.
Yes.
But that's a hologram.
Yes.
So what if he's normal size?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You take a look at him and you think, you know, take Emperor Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
He was thrown down a shaft in the Death Star. He could have survived.
Okay.
I certainly wouldn't put it past him to build up another power base of the First Order and and so forth and get, you know, another protege. And sure, why, if you can't get a Skywalker, get a Solo. It's next best thing in this case.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, Han was always susceptible to the light side because he had a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I think someone who got to his child young would have been able to tempt the dark side. It's the smuggler side of Han Solo.
Yeah.
The getting away with things side.
We see the best in Han when he starts hanging around with Luke.
Yes, yes. So if you're getting kind of the Anakin side of Leia and the smuggler side of Han,
yeah,
you can see where there is in their child that aspect of them that can be tempted. And, I mean, when Kylo Ren is saying that he's torn, and several times in the movie, he's saying, you know, I feel this conflict between the light side and the dark side in myself.
Well, it almost makes it seem like he is the one that's going to try to balance the Force, or is struggling with that balance, going mm-hmm. back to the prophecy of the prequel trilogy.
Yeah. Which I guess makes my question, can Rey help him accomplish that goal?
I think so, but the question is, is Rey, his cousin, his sister, completely unrelated?
Mm.
Which is pretty much what they hint at or say at one point here. Because when Rey is with and Finn are with Han and Chewie,
mm-hmm.
they go to this one watering hole. I forget the name of the place.
Right. Maz somethings. It sounded so similar to Maz Eisley that it kind of drove me crazy.
Well, it was Moss, M-O-S, Eisley, and this is Maz, M-A-Z something or other. But first off, the person running the place, which is, I think, what it was named after, whatever, that alien, she was really cool. I liked the look,
I loved everything about her.
Fun character. And having Luke's lightsaber, getting that introduced to the story, really kind of firmly kicking off the force powers that Rey has and just that aspect of the character. And when she was saying, you know, you wanted to go back to that planet because you thought your family was coming back for you. They're not. But what you're looking for is not in your past. It's in your future. And I thought that was a great scene, really well done, and was, I think, a major turning point for Rey's character.
Well, I think there were a lot of turning points there. It was Maz Kanata.
Mm-hmm.
And it was voiced by Lupita Nyong'o. I'm going to say it wrong. But she got an Oscar for, I want to say it was Django Unchained.
Okay.
So a great actress.
Yeah. Well, again, emoted very well.
Yeah.
Carried a lot of character in the voice.
Yeah. You know, but it was a point where Finn also learned a lot about himself.
Mm-hmm.
So just so much happened for the characters in terms of growth, etc., around their time there.
Well, you know, and this was...
That was a place where Finn stopped running.
Yes. Well, and I think some of that also goes to Han. You know, you got another problem, buddy. The ladies always figure it out. They're going to know the truth, kind of a thing.
That was some of it. But Maz told Finn, you know, those people will trade you passage for work.
Mm-hmm.
And pointed him in a direction where he could simply stop this quest he only so believed in and just get out if he wanted. And he reached a point where he stopped running and he stopped doing something out of almost obligation they didn't necessarily believe in. And he started doing something he wanted to do and he did believe in because he cared about Rey.
Yeah.
And
he got invested in the cause.
Yeah.
To me, he was the analog to Han.
Yeah, he was.
It's like, you know, I got kind of forced into this. I was trying to do what's right, but this is dangerous. I'm getting out. Get sucked back in.
Well, and he knew the First Order so well, he knew the Stormtroopers so well,
mm-hmm.
that he knew what a losing battle it was. But that was the point at which it no longer mattered if it was a losing battle. He was going to fight to his own death.
There was a certain part of he had already been defeated, but then found renewed hope.
Yeah.
And I like that character.
Yeah.
You know, the clips I'd seen in the trailers and whatnot, and I hadn't watched many of them, maybe one or two, but you would see, you know, the Stormtrooper taking his helmet off and some stuff like that. Not really enough to know where he would fit in the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But strong actor, well used, and to me, the casting of Finn, Poe, and Rey with characters I didn't recognize, or actors I didn't recognize, gave them a bit of a blank slate. They're similar enough to a lot of the stuff we got in the original trilogy, but different enough to not be just flat-out derivative.
Well, and with Poe, there again, I mean, all these movies, we've seen the Wing Commander character, the pilots, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we hadn't gotten invested in the personality or following any of them kind of outside of their very limited, I'm the pilot, I'm in the meeting to get assigned what I'm going to do on the mission, and then I go on the mission.
Yeah.
You know, so Poe just kind of came alive and we got the full three dimensions of that character.
Well, and I think a lot of that was just how they introduced him. He looked like he was going to be the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, I guess he's dead for a bit.
He got the Luke Skywalker introduction in a way.
Yes, he did.
You know, and I just loved that in this movie, they decided to focus on characters that in the other movies, we didn't look into the lives of.
Well, I think this was a lot more character focused than the other films.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made it work well, because there were a couple of moments that were just flat out comedic for the sake of being comedic. You know, Poe is encountering Kylo Ren. And he's like, well, do you talk first? Do I talk first? How does this work? Kind of a thing. And just poking fun at the bear. It's like, not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But also, gosh, some of that stuff really set up Kylo as just such a major force to be reckoned with. Beyond Vader, Darth Maul, General Grievous, any of the ones we'd seen before, when he had basically stopped the blaster blast in midair. And I was almost expecting him to basically put Poe in front of it with, you know, I just lose my concentration and you've killed yourself.
Yeah.
Didn't happen that way, but would have been fun.
Mm-hmm.
But very strong introductions to those characters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I liked so much of how those things were kind of in there. I loved how when they're at the base and Kylo gets told information he doesn't like, he just lays into the equipment with that lightsaber, left, right, and center. It's like, okay, yeah. He's got some temper problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how at one point that's happening after, I guess, Rey has escaped. Two stormtroopers are coming down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And they hear all this ruckus and, you know, the lightsaber slashing around and things getting destroyed. And they just slowly walk back from where they came.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, he's at it again. I've mm-hmm. heard stories of this sort of a deal.
Well, I loved when Finn was trying to come up with a plan for how to rescue Rey. And Han is just kind of jerking his chin at what's behind mm-hmm. Finn. And Finn's like, "And what's this? What's with your chin?" He's like, "Look behind you." And they
he's like, "Well, how are we going to find her in this thing?" He's like, "Over there."
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and having Finn at that point almost playing Luke in the first movie of the eager wannabe hero at times.
Mm-hmm.
And Rey being just from the get-go. Such a strong personality. I don't need to be rescued. Kind of a princess. She's a princess. But
what's with taking my hand?
Yes. It's like, I can run fine without you sort of a deal.
Uh-huh.
And from the minute Finn laid eyes on her, she's, you know, taking down three or four people mm-hmm. that he was about to rescue her from. He's like, mm-hmm. I guess I don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked how prior to that, when he's walking in the desert, he's losing pieces of his stormtrooper armor just one by one.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time he gets there, he's got a Poe's jacket and just a black outfit.
Yeah.
You know, but not something that looked like, well, he's an undressed stormtrooper.
Yeah.
You know, that established the look of the character well.
Yeah.
Again, I think the wardrobe department did an excellent job. I thought Rey's outfit.
I loved it,
too. Great design.
Yeah.
There was actually a little girl at the theater dressed up at it. I think she was one of the ones with lightsabers when we were working out at the end.
Oh, how funny.
Had the hair done and that kind of a design. So it's a franchise that has just captured the imagination of generations at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And lives up to it because it is fun, it's action, it's adventure, there's big stakes, but there's also personal stakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to save the galaxy. You know, but Han's also trying to save his son.
Yeah.
You know, and this was a excellent movie for Han Solo.
Oh, it was.
Probably the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
Out of the whole thing. And yeah. I'm expecting the next movie to be probably a really good Luke Skywalker film. Mm. Granted, he's had a few already.
Well, I mean, it's hard to judge based on how talkative Luke was in this movie.
For second billing, to be in one scene with no dialogue.
Oh, you
pull
know.
Pull back the hood, turn, look pensively at a lightsaber.
And stand there while a helicopter circles you, with barely moving.
Yeah. And I mean, Mark Hamill's done just some brilliant stuff over the years as the Joker, Trickster, some other characters here and there. That, you know, I want to see what he can bring to that character now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I was glad I'd given my coworkers, because a few of them had already seen the movie a few days ago. I gave them very strict, tell me nothing. Because
mm-hmm.
if I'd known, hey, he was only in it at the end, because there were a couple of times, it's like, surely we'll see Luke any moment now.
Yeah.
You know, it would have changed and colored my perception and expectations
mm-hmm.
in a fairly significant way.
Yeah. Well, I liked going back to the scenes around Maz Kanata's place. Mm-hmm. I loved the way Han walked over to the main ship from the rescue fleet that the Resistance had sent. Kind of the, yeah, Finn, I'll deal with you in a minute. I need to stand here and wait for everybody to get off the ship because I know who just saved me. I know what's coming.
Yeah, time to pay the piper.
Yeah.
Well, I loved how Han walks into that place. We get the cantina scene, essentially.
Yeah.
And then we get two people, one calling to the First Order, one calling to the Rebellion.
Yeah.
The droid's here. It's like, okay. And Finn basically have him figured out, yeah, that's probably happened.
Yeah.
This is going to be a battleground soon. But this is where we get a little bit of insight as to why Han is not right now with Leia. And again, just having to almost pay the piper or whatever of, you know, Leia's there. He's gotta talk with her.
And Maz asks Han, who's the girl? And he says, long story. And when she's having the Force dream, I was pretty darn sure that was the Millennium Falcon that dropped her off.
I'm almost wondering if they pulled the same, if they had twins and pulled the same sort of thing that was done with Luke and Leia. You know, they're going to be strong in the Force. Let's hedge our bets. I mean, harsh thing to do.
Well, she was, you know, what, 3 or 4 when she got dropped off based on the Force dream.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if when it seemed like Ben was going towards the dark side, they had a child who was a little bit younger that they got worried about. So they put in safe keeping. But the hand that was holding her was the guy she was trading stuff with for the rations. Which takes me back to thinking it's Luke's kid.
If Rey and Kylo were brother and sister, when they were essentially mind probing each other, that should have come out.
Yeah.
If they were cousins, I would have thought that should have come out.
See, this is what I keep wondering.
The whole scene where she's getting the vision with the lightsaber was one of the ones that I'd like to rewatch a couple of times.
Yeah.
Just to pay closer attention to.
Yeah.
Because I think there was a lot happening and hinted at in the span of, you know, 30 seconds or something.
Yeah. I found it overload and confusing as a result.
Yeah. And part of it is I was still trying to piece together where they seemed to be going with some of the characters and in direction and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie Fisher did an excellent job as Leia.
Mm.
Very well used. She looked great.
Well, and the Force is still strong in her. She knew the moment her son killed Han.
Yes.
And I liked that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, she was only in, I think, maybe half an hour of a 2.5 hour film. But her presence was strongly felt and well used.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like, it's like, geez, we really should have gotten a lot more of her.
Yeah, exactly.
Where and how her character was used made perfect sense. It felt natural.
Mm-hmm.
I did feel like Luke just wasn't really in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, flip side, I thought Han and Chewie, I mean, this was as close to a feature on them as we've seen.
Well, in a way, Luke seems to have followed the path of Obi-Wan and Yoda.
And that bothered me because there seems to be, when the going gets tough, the Jedi run.
Or the Jedi retreat and
meditate for a few decades.
Commune with the Force, yeah. And I wonder about that.
Yeah, I wonder about that too. And I want to hear his side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm also wondering, why did he leave a map?
Mm.
You know, who did he leave some of the map with? R2 had certainly the part that put it into context. Why was R2 left behind? Well, why was R2 inactive?
It seemed to be a map to the first Jedi Temple, which is where everyone thought he had gone. Because they thought that he was afraid he didn't know enough about the Jedi ways, that there was something wrong with the way he was teaching use of the Force, and that is why Ben had gone to the dark side and become Kylo Ren.
Let's see, he got a couple of days worth of training from Ben, maybe a few weeks to a couple of months from Yoda before Yoda died, had pretty much no real guidance, no firsthand knowledge of how the Jedi had operated in the Republic before the Empire. So could he have been training people wrong?
Hence he went to find the first temple and figure it out.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Why do that in secret? Why send Rey and Chewie and then leave Chewie at the ship to go get him?
Chewie? Oh, that's right. Chewie was co-pilot.
I mean, I get it. It was a pretty tall hike up because they couldn't park any closer when they get at the end and she's going to see Luke.
I think that was Rey's decision, and I think... Well, I would love to know what Leia was whispering, because I'm assuming she was whispering to Rey when they hugged.
I was not assuming that.
I just choose to assume that because either that's her daughter or her niece, and I give Leia the benefit of the doubt.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
You know, it's just we stayed pretty much on one side of it, and I'd like to think that if we flipped to the other side, we'd see Leia saying something before she sent her our way and said, "May the Force be with you."
Since they know this is a trilogy, I hope they've gotten enough of a game plan for the other two parts that we don't have what happened in the prequel, where later parts are referencing the time frame of the first movie for setting up the clone army and some stuff like that, and we just never saw anything to set that up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see anything that felt like just, well, this doesn't make sense, it's here solely for setup, and that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hope they don't reference, you know, things that we should have been seeing at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, we know Rey has the Force within her, has access mm-hmm. to the Force. But at this point, neither Han nor Leia said anything to her to say, you're our child. So if we find out in one of the next two movies that she is their child and they said nothing, there better be a very extraordinarily good reason why they said nothing, or this particular viewer will be miffed.
And if she's Luke's daughter, who's the mother? What's going on there? Why yes. was there no mention of Luke being married? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jedi are usually single.
Yeah.
But I still want to know who Mama is.
And that's if she's Luke. She may not yeah. be. She may just be strong in the Force.
That's very true.
You know, that was very much what was hinted at when, right after the lightsaber scene.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think, you know, said, if, you know, that your family's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious about all of that. The effects were brilliantly done. I think they used a lot of physical location and miniatures versus digital effects. Mm-hmm. Clearly there were a lot of digital effects also.
Mm-hmm.
The X-Wing, the flight sequences, all that kind of stuff, beautifully done.
Three cheers for Greg Grunberg.
I would like to see him come back in the other two films as kind of the Wedge Antilles equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those X-Wing pilots that's, he's not the superstar of the group. But he's good and he lives.
Yeah, I loved seeing him.
Yeah, it was fun to see him. There was also one of the guys from one of the later seasons of Lost as one of the admirals or whatever. And that was a fun little thing just to, again, see some familiar actors. That was Ken Leong or something like that.
Yeah, I knew who you're talking about.
And I just, there were some cool cameos or whatever, but nothing that was just over the top or felt out of place or anything. The one character that surprised me a lot, and not in a good way, was Captain Phasm or whatever. The silver stormtrooper.
Oh, yeah, I know who you mean.
There are toys being made. I thought it was just going to be a stormtrooper that was the baddest of the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with this captain kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't feel that way.
No.
It was a female voice and just got totally owned by Finn.
Worst boss of the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not care for the
shoulder pad thing.
Yeah.
I like how they're trying to get the stormtroopers to look a little different.
I liked identifying rank, department, etc., but I liked it better when it was paint on the uniform, not some shoulder pad add-on that looked like it was going to fall off or bump into something.
Well, one of the things they also did is differentiated some of the stormtroopers with a little bit different weaponry.
They did, and some seemed to have different packs on the back and stuff like that.
Those were the ones with the flamethrowers, which, if you think back to the first Star Wars film, makes sense of how Luke's aunt and uncle died.
Mm, yes, it does.
You know, so I think that was almost done as a, not a retcon, but as a you know, explanation thereof.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who was able to fight against the lightsaber, the stormtrooper with that, having the baton, all that stuff, that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but figuring, I don't know how many Jedi Luke had trained, there weren't that many people to have to go fight up against. But if you're starting up the first order, you're going to go up against Jedi. You know this.
Yeah, it was very Nazi-ish in the first order.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just kind of screamed out at me this time.
Well, but it also belies the ending of the original trilogy, where the Republic is, you know, they've blown up yet another Death Star, the Republic is restored, all is right in the galaxy. Yet there's this other stormtrooper thing that in the span of a few decades springs up and they're constantly fighting against. Yet they're still called the Rebellion.
No, we're up to Resistance.
The Resistance. Why are we not the Army of the Republic?
No, we're the army of the we wish we didn't have to exist. And I love that C-3PO, who's basically a computer and ought to be programmed and simply get it right the first time, kept trying to call Leia princess.
What I liked is you've got a protocol droid that's pretty much breaking protocol getting between Han and Leia.
I love that too, yes.
But it's fun seeing 3PO. He's a great character.
Anthony Daniels does so great with that.
They've introduced in the Darth Vader comic 000. That is a... He works for Darth through an intermediary, but it's a torture droid.
Oh, gosh.
You know, interrogation and all this kind of stuff. But he's basically a silver version of 3PO. And it looks just like him, just different color. To the point that they actually confused Luke at one point by painting him gold.
Oh, how funny.
But this has got, you know, a robot that's got, you know, injection needles to go poison you or whatnot. But I can't help read those comics and not hear, you know, I hear 3PO's voice.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is the point.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
as they were preparing to launch the movie, the Waze navigation app had a C-3PO voice. And when you arrive at your destination, C-3PO says something about thinking you're there, but then they have the R2-D2 whistles to confirm, yes, you've arrived. Mm-hmm.
I thought Chewie was really well used when he would do the growl and stuff. Kind of, a, you know, somebody saying to Han, weren't you one of these you know, heroes of the rebellion or whatever? And you know, Chewie growls with kind of a, I don't know.
He had some great shrugs and, yeah.
You know, kind of, he's not that big of a deal kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chewie's always been a lot of fun. I thought he was very well used.
I loved Han using the crossbow of Chewie's.
I loved that. One of the things I noticed was particularly with the crossbow, but also with most of the blasters, is they've really amped up the power. Because it used to be, one, you couldn't hit anything. Two, if you did, they'd just, you know, fall or whatever. Now it knocks people back. And man, that crossbow. That'll knock you way the hell back.
That could take out two people at once, I think. And did you notice that the weakest part of a stormtrooper's armor seems to be where the helmet meets
the neckline where there's no armor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were aiming for that. They've learned.
Yeah.
What was funny was at one point, Han grabbed, you know, borrows Chewie's bowcaster, whatever, shoots some stuff with kind of, I could get used to this. I would have loved for Chewie to, nope, mine.
Yes.
Kind of a get your own.
Well, and after Chewie had been shot, the nurse that was working on him.
That was hilarious. You were so brave. Treating him like a child.
Yes.
And that was one of the things I really enjoyed about this film was that sense of humor. Again, the stormtroopers backing off when they realize the one guy's throwing a fit, the way the nurse was treating Chewie, and all of those things that just ring true, but don't have to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the kind of thing that I felt the first trilogy didn't have really at all.
Yeah.
The second had a little bit of, but this one, I mean, they captured the tone, the style, the sense of Star Wars, and really pushed it to a fuller level.
And there wasn't a single lens flare.
No.
I mean, it had style and flair and everything, but it was all done, I almost want to say subtly, it was all done so nicely that you just hopped on the ride and went with it.
The one place I would say there was something visually that was not subtle, but man, it was amazing. They're in the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
The droid is projecting the map.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just kind of walking around it. We're pivoting in 3D and stuff, yet it's all there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beautifully done.
That was when Han was talking about the Force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good visual scene. It was a great character scene.
Well, and that was about the point where Han and Rey were finishing each other's sentences and bonding so well that's part of why I kept waffling over is Rey, Leia's, or Luke's, or just strong in the Force.
They were two peas of a pod is what it came down to.
Yeah.
Which set up her basically taking over the Falcon with Chewie at the end.
Yeah.
You know, when Han's sort of but not quite offering her a job, it's like, well, Chewie likes you.
Yes, yes. You know, not to, as I so often do, skip to the end. The moment Kylo Ren started walking out across the infamous bridge with no railing, I knew it was bad news.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fight sequence must ensue. The fact there was no real fight sequence at that point. Were
you expecting the line of dialogue I was expecting?
What were you expecting?
Kylo basically saying something to Han of, why do you think you can save me?
Oh.
I am your father.
Yeah.
We get a little of that with Han saying to Leia, well, why do you think I can do something if Luke can't?
Yeah.
You're his father.
Yeah. The line I loved at that point, actually, was when Han was asking him to take the mask off.
Mm-hmm.
And Kylo Ren was saying, who do you, or what do you expect to see? And he said, I expect to see the face of my son.
Yeah.
I really thought that had power, and I liked that. And that was another one of those points where Kylo Ren was talking about that internal fight between the light and the dark, and say he needed his father's help.
There's something about the Jedi kind of Sith or whatever, in a lot of these, you know, Luke killed his father.
Mm.
You know, Ben Solo's killed his father. You know, Anakin didn't have a father to kill.
Wait, it's funny because somehow he magically turned that lightsaber 90 degrees from the direction the two of them were holding.
Yeah, I was, I won't say disappointed with that scene. I saw it coming.
Exactly.
I, out of all the actors they had, I thought the one they cast for Kylo Ren not as strong as most of the others.
When he didn't look like I expected the son of those two characters to look was part of it for me.
Yes, there's part of that, but also all this hair, suddenly it's, you know, not a problem in this smaller mask. The mask look of it, between the lack of a cape and just the more, I mean, it looked like a child version of Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. You well, know. On that score, I loved Rey. When she realized he's trying to read my mind, I wonder if it's a two-way street.
Rey is just a natural at the Force, both there and when he was, when they're fighting out in the forest or whatever, and he's like, you know, you're not even really using the Force. I could teach you the Force. And she said, oh, the Force. Mm. Hang on a sec. Let me use that.
Yeah.
And then she starts kicking his butt.
Yeah.
Then it gets to where she's pretty much defeated him and the planet's blowing up. So the big crevasse between them blocking it. So, well, that's how he gets away.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they don't establish that he escaped the planet, though. But we know he did.
Yeah. Well, and the moment those two started fighting, I started thinking, okay, someone has to interfere. Something has to interfere. This fight can't end with one of them actually killing or defeating the other.
Yeah. And I was afraid before that one had started, though, that we'd lost Finn.
I was, too.
I'm glad we didn't. Strong character.
Well, it seemed like we ended with him in a coma.
He was in the med bay or whatever, getting repaired or whatever.
Yeah.
To me, that hearkened to the end of Empire Strikes Back.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, that kind of a vibe to it. But you're right. The fight between Rey and Kylo had to end kind of essentially in a draw.
Mm-hmm.
What I loved about a lot of those fight scenes is the way the saber was used both by Rey and by Finn was very much like an untrained person.
Yeah.
They were untrained. This is the first time they picked these things up.
Now, the flip side of that, I did not like Kylo Ren's lightsaber.
With the two things off the side?
The devil's pitchfork look.
It made sense to me in so much as it allowed kind of little daggery type, you know, attacks or whatever, just by pivoting it, you know, I don't think it was as cool looking as Darth Maul's dual lightsaber. Mm. And
I didn't think it was as cool looking or as effective.
Yeah.
Now, if they had established that he could basically switch, that the long portion of the blade was either the full length or he could kind of turn it 90 degrees.
Or it could have been, you know, a four-pronged kind of a deal.
Yeah.
If it was something like that, that would have been very interesting.
Yeah. It also would have made the fight with his father make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. The other option they could have done is use it kind of like the guard part of a sword, but have it be kind of a round, kind of almost parabolic sort of a deal, kind of as its protection for him.
Mm.
But one would hope if you're a good enough fighter, you don't need that. But clearly he wasn't a good enough fighter.
You know, it's an interesting thought. If it were a different color that was coming as kind of a pommel protection over the hand, to where basically they couldn't lop off your hand because you had that force protection over it, that'd be interesting.
There are a lot of things they could do.
And really, I thought Luke Skywalker had a better artificial hand. I'm just saying.
He did.
Okay.
But that was years earlier.
I'm telling you, time is rough in the Empire, the Republic, the whatever that became.
Well, and apparently the robotic hands aren't built to last. Droids, however, are. Lightsabers certainly are.
They are. Yeah.
So, and spaceships. I mean, the Falcon, it may be a piece of junk, but it's a long-lasting piece of junk.
It, yeah, it's garbage, but its transponder is easy to spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, to me, having the Falcon as one of the mainstays of the movie, one of the main set pieces or whatever, really worked. It's iconic Star Wars for multiple reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the ships that we kind of know the best.
Yeah.
Versus the ones we got in the prequel, we never really spent enough time in any of them to really get a sense of, you know, the space, the, or whatnot. And I like just little callbacks, the chessboard, a couple of things like that.
Yeah.
The modulator, the power coupling or whatever that was always giving them problem. Oh, we just routed around it. And Han's kind of, damn, I wish I thought of that kind of look.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Harrison Ford did a fantastic job on this.
Definitely.
You know, they recaptured the Han Solo character and used him exceedingly well. It was unfortunate for him to get killed off, but, and I wouldn't say it was a heroic death, but it was a good death.
Yeah.
And hopefully that motivates the next two films.
Well, and it's funny because on the one hand, his death was another step towards the dark side for his son, but I can't help but wonder if it might, in the end, be part of what helps pull his son back towards the light side. So it's one of those highly complex story points that is so great for the entire Star Wars universe.
I think it is conceivable we could see Han, not as a Force ghost, but kind of pulled from beyond to make that connection to his son and help save him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm certainly not going to rule that out. There's talk of also a kind of a young Han Solo movie, which would be fun.
It would, definitely.
You know, I'd like to see kind of his backstory fleshed out, how he got the Falcon, some stuff like that.
How he met Chewbacca.
Yes, definitely. Because again, Chewbacca back in the, was in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
You know, helped save Yoda and whatnot. So I was really pleased with this. Just again, it was a beautiful movie, very well done. Some great characters, some great writing. A couple of things here and there you could pick, you know, poke holes at. Just doesn't make sense. You know, things like that. If the Sith had fallen and we don't have the Emperor or Darth, how do we get this new Force-powered, you know, enemy? It's like they addressed a little of that with Ben having, you know, essentially been a Jedi in training that fell.
Well, but my other question, I guess, since we only saw what appeared to be a hologram, is I'm wondering if it wasn't actually a hologram, but if it was one of those Force apparitions.
When we saw it close down at one point, it seemed very hologram-like. But again, when we see BB-8 project a hologram, it looked fairly realistic. I don't know. There's a lot about who the Supreme Leader is, who the Knights of Ren are, those aspects to figure out or to learn about. Where did the First Order come from? Why do they have stormtroopers just like the Empire did? You know, there was a talk about having maybe used, you know, we should have used a clone army and some stuff like that. Why do we not have any more battle droids?
Mm.
Now, granted, you take out the controller, you take the whole army down, that makes sense. But I'm looking forward to the next two films in the trilogy. Granted, it's another 2 years for the next one, 2 years after for that, so it'll be
torture.
2019 till we get the end of this thing, plus the other movies in the meanwhile. Fortunately, Marvel's got a ton of Star Wars comics coming out. There's the video games, the animated series. I'm sure there's books coming out left, right, and center. But they picked up the ball. They ran with it well. I think they did the franchise proud.
Yeah.
I think people are by and large going to come out of it with a very positive take, and not even a positive, but qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez, what about the midichlorians? Oh, the pod race went on too long. None of that crap.
Yeah.
I don't think people are going to say, oh, that Jar Jar character, whatever. I expect by and large the kind of the word on the street on this is going to be fairly universally positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe somebody would want more, a little here or there, whatever. I mean, there are some things you can nitpick, but they did well.
I agree.
They should be proud of what they did.
Yeah, I agree.
Now they just need to not mess it up for all the films they're doing after this.
Oh, you ask for so much.
Well, may the force be with them.
Agreed.
Anything else, or does that do it?
That does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.